In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, well, today, this is interesting today, because we're actually being able to meet on a Thursday, which it's my least favorite day of all time.
You and hate Thursdays in general? I think we've gone over this.
Yeah, I hate Thursdays. First of all, the world is supposed to end on a Thursday, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide from the Galaxy, or of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's the most mundane of the weekdays, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like Monday is, I'm back to work. Tuesday's like, all right, I'm okay now. Tacos! Wednesday is...
true.
What day is it? What day is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's hump day. Friday is, thank God it's Friday. Yay, we get to go do stuff. Saturday, we're recovering from what we did on Friday. Sunday, we're either going to church or pretending not to go to church and making sure that we hit the restaurants for breakfast either during church hours or like... go to lunch way, way after church hours because you don't want to catch the church crowd.
Or recovering from what we did on Saturday.
Also that, and then back to Monday. But what's on Thursday? Freaking nothing except bad news and bad shit happening. Thursday sucks.
I mean, right now, for Thursdays for me, like, Star Trek Picard is on. And that's just dope. But that's like, I mean, in the off season, there's nothing.
See, I guess that's nice of Paramount to try to give you something to look forward to on the crappiest day of the week that is Thursday.
Yeah, they've been
I feel sorry for Thor.
Oh.
I mean, that's his day. Yeah. Thursday is Thor's day.
What the hell, man? It's so...
And it's just a shitty day.
I was going to say, it's so boring.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. The Thor from the Norse mythology is absolutely nothing like Thor from the MCU and from any comic book depiction of Thor.
You
like,
don't
any
say.
Comic book depiction, even like Vincent D'Onofrio, kind of sort of playing Thor in Adventures in Babysitting back in the 80s. He plays somebody that looks kind of like the comic book version of Thor, and
right.
It's a whole thing. If you haven't seen the movie, just go watch it because it's actually quite amusing. Doesn't necessarily hold up, but still quite amusing.
That movie was such a hit for such a long time too.
It was. I loved that movie when I was a kid. And when I found out that it was Vincent D'Onofrio, I think it was around I'm gonna say it was around the Men in Black era that I found that out. When Men in Black came out, because I was like, you know, this guy's doing some freaky crap. Is this, you know, this, he's got an alien roach in him, and this is great makeup and great acting. Who the heck is this guy? Vincent D'Onofrio. I need to watch his movie. So I'm about, you know, 17 or so.
Oh,
I need to watch his movies.
Full Metal Jacket.
So I go and say that again.
You find Full Metal Jacket.
Yes. That was one of the first movies that I found. And I was like, oh, crap.
That's fantastic.
I never want to go in the military. I'm never going in the military. I keep looking, and of course I find that he played that part in Adventures in Babysitting. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, that is him.
Holy
that
shit.
Is him.
It's the sugar water guy.
Yeah, I can't believe it. But anyway, in Norse mythology, Thor is like a complete drunken buffoon that all somebody needs to do is look at him wrong and he starts to beat the crap out of them. He killed and raped and did all kinds of Viking stuff. He was not a cool dude and definitely not like some, you know, good looking prince of Asgard or anything. No, this dude was just, he was basically a hardcore warrior, drinker, fighter, womanizer, and all around dickhead.
Oh,
but he was super powerful. So, I mean, he was a good guy, but he was like kind of the dickhead good guy. Like, okay, like we need these frost giants destroyed. We'll call in Thor. Okay, we need to like talk to the people and, you know, make everything good. We will not call in Thor.
He is not the guy.
No, the best depiction of him I've ever seen, at least the closest to Norse mythology, was a TV show from New Zealand called The Almighty Johnsons. that posits that the Norse gods fled in the idea is that the Norse gods could no longer take godly form because they had lost their power. People stopped believing in them.
Okay.
So instead, they would have to inhabit human avatar bodies. Okay.
Okay.
They didn't completely control the body, but the human had some of the powers and capabilities of the gods, and the gods could occasionally take control for certain things and whatnot. Well, they fled during the rise of Christianity. They flee Europe and end up in New Zealand. And so they immigrate to basically to New Zealand with these families. And so these families in New Zealand with this Norse heritage, every generation, a few of the gods will occupy one of the bodies as their avatar. And they've been waiting for Odin to come back because he's been away the longest. He hasn't inhabited the body in the longest time. And so the Johnson family is the family that mainly gets it's not the only one, but it's the main family that gets these avatar things to happen, gets these gods to inhabit them. And you follow this family as the youngest brother has one of the gods inhabiting, but they don't know for sure which god it is. And the story is trying to find out. They pretty well think it's Odin, but they're not sure.
Wow.
And so you have them interact with other people in this area that have the families that are from the ship that came over, that immigrated to New Zealand, that brought basically the Norse gods into New Zealand. They also interact with avatars of Maori gods, so Pacific Islander gods, which is funny.
Wow.
Yeah, there's one character who's half Pacific Islander and half Scandinavian.
So they incorporate Maori into it too. That's dope.
Yeah, she her character is the Keisha Castle Hughes, who was in the movie Wave or Whale Rider. Mm-hmm. This is kind of her first adult role. She's caught between the two cultures. She may be a Maori goddess. She may be a Norse goddess. They don't know. And so that's part a plot point that happens within it. They interact with some gods that you don't know as well. Some that you do know, like there is a Loki in there and he's an asshole and a bastard. but at one point or another, they end up having to find, they're trying to find Frigga whoever Frigga is in, you know, whichever body Frigga has inhabited to reunite her with Odin. Cause again, they think their youngest brother is Odin. And so they're searching for all these families in New Zealand that might have connection to it. And they think they found one. So they go to visit the family and the daughter who they think might be Frigga is not, she did not get an avatar, but her dad is Thor. And he is like, the U.S. analogy would be he's like a good old boy from Alabama that has a still in the backyard. And
okay, so this sounds very sitcom-esque or comedy-esque, just very, very much a fish out of water comedy with Norse gods.
There's some comedy. There's some dramatic elements. It's a very interesting series. Biggest thing to understand though, because it's made in New Zealand, there is a lot of nudity, there is sex, and people are drinking beer constantly.
Really?
Like alcohol in general, they are drinking constantly. But yeah, there's boobs showing up all over the place, a little bit of bush, a lot of butt, weird. And people having sex regularly and tons of alcohol, beer, vodka, whatever, they're drinking all the time.
Dude, are you okay? The warning I understand entirely. But do you have to just be like boobs, bush and butt like you're fucking 14 years old?
That's the best way I can describe it. I'm sorry. I guess the reason I describe it that way is they literally handle it like it's a 14-year-old thing. Seriously.
Oh my
god.
They have
no inhibition about it whatsoever. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And it's it shows the liberation of that society in comparison to ours.
Interesting.
And so much drinking. Oh my god, so much drinking. It's
is this
beautiful.
Like on streaming somewhere? Like where do you see it? Where can you find it now?
It used to be on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And you could stream the whole five seasons of it. They were going to make more, but, you know, contracts fell through, all this and all that.
Really? But, so it was like an ongoing series. Did it ever have a resolve?
Kind of. I mean, the finale for the fifth season kind of resolved most of the stuff, but there was more story, definitely way more story that could have been told.
Oh, wow. But, okay.
There's dramatic elements to it. There's comedic elements to it. There's family elements to it. It's very funny, very interesting. It's got a different sense of humor than Americans are used to, specifically because it is not an American piece. But they even have right. They even have dwarves and giants in the damn thing.
That's dope.
And the funny thing is, they look like normal people. The dwarves and the giants, they look like normal people, but they're freaking dwarves and giants. It's hilarious,
dude. That's okay. I love it. I you're honestly, you've sold me on this. I really want to see it.
It's a good series. It's got a lot of fun, things to it. And, interesting because there's only maybe Keisha Castle Hughes is known to American audiences because of the movie Whale Rider when she was a kid. That she's known for that. She was also in, she's also technically in episode 3. Star Wars episode 3. She's the Queen of Naboo when during Padme's funeral. She's the Queen of Naboo at that point in time. So little tiny cameo role in that.
Oh, okay.
But she's known to American audiences, and then one of the brothers would kind of be known to American audiences. Oh, only because he plays one of the dwarves in The Hobbit. Peter Jackson's The Hobbit.
Oh, okay.
So he's the only character that crosses over to that. Hmm. And their grandfather, who is, so, again, the gods get, or the avatars get some of the capabilities, some of the powers of the gods. Their grandfather in the show, one of the powers he got from his god was basically eternal youth. His god gave him the power of eternal youth.
Okay.
So they think at the beginning of the show that he's just their weird cousin, or at least the younger brother who hasn't been initiated into all this. Part of this, the whole show is kind of the youngest brother being initiated into all this. They don't tell him until he comes of age and the avatar enters him.
Right.
Or the god enters him and makes him the avatar, I should say. So, we're learning the stuff as the younger brother is learning the stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. And, so he's the tether. He's the narrative of the show. Okay.
And so you find when the god enters him and he becomes the avatar for the god, he finds out that this guy he thinks just some weird cousin or uncle or whatever that leaves occasionally and then comes back and is hanging out. And whenever he is around, he eats like an entire loaf of bread worth of toast at a time. Like he'll toast up the whole loaf of bread and just sit there eating the pieces of frickin' bread in this huge giant pile of toast. He's great. You'll find it amusing because to me, he reminds me of the last drummer that you had for Prilosis.
Oh, looks really? Wise. Okay.
He totally looks like him. He's kind of got a similar attitude, okay. laid back kind of easygoing attitude.
Yeah.
It's seriously, you'll see him and you'll be like, oh, okay. I can kind of see it a little bit. It's not exactly, but you can see some resemblance. They could be cousins or something. And it's for me watching it with him, it was just like some of the things he would do, some things he would say, little, I'd say more laid back than that, than your drummer.
We
more did. Laid back, but similar.
Okay. All right.
Cause I mean, he's a pretty laid back dude. He's a pretty easygoing dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's chill as hell.
Yeah. He's like a tall, gentle, squishy giant. I love getting him hugs.
Yeah, I would say so. Like we could, like I'm not necessarily against like saying his name. That's fine.
You can say his name.
Bandmates are fine. We're talking about our drummer for Prilosis, Joel. His name is Joel.
Yes, I love Joel.
Super super laid back dude. Like always a pleasure to be around. Always.
Yes, he was good. He was good for hugs.
Oh yes, yeah. Guy gives great hugs.
Very good for that. Not as good as Jeff.
Jeff gives good hugs. All of the taller band members are fantastic. It's nice to hug somebody taller than you.
And I could kind of rest my head on their chest.
Yeah.
And it was kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's people securing. It's very...
people listening to this are like, okay, we're learning things about James.
Hey, look, Mike agrees. Mike understands.
I just sent you his, the actor, his name is Ben Barrington. Yeah. I just sent you his IMDb so that you can at least just see a picture of him.
All right, I'm taking a look right now.
So you can see some of the resemblance.
Hold on.
Am I wrong?
No.
And it's not just the haircut. It's literally just kind of that same kind of look.
No, he's got that. He's got the capability. It's the stoic face and like the whole thing.
And then when you see the performance of this character, it's like, again, more laid back than Joel, like way more, yeah. But like some of that same kind of put everything at ease and just kind of slowly moving through the room. And he's got because Joel's got that refinement to him as he's walking through a room. He's just like almost gliding through the room. Right.
Yes. Yeah. I would say so.
Joel's going to, if Joel ever listens to this, he's going to be like, okay, I need to reevaluate what James always thought about me. What did those hugs really mean? It just means I liked you, man. You were cool. You put people at ease.
Damn it. Like, you know what? Honestly, this makes me just want to have a barbecue with like all my old friends.
Or you could get the band together to do a performance and hang out.
I mean, that might be a little tough. Joel actually lives out of town now, so that's gonna be a little difficult. I wouldn't want to like if the whole band is gonna get together, it's gonna be everybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I don't want anybody to miss out. You know.
No, and it wouldn't be the same if it's not everybody doing it together. So
exactly. It's kind of like all or nothing for me.
I mean, except for like one of your guitarists.
What?
He's kind of he could be. I mean. No, I'm kidding.
I love Carl. I was like, amazing. You got to be fucking kidding me.
No, I love Carl. He's amazing. I haven't seen him in too long. But anyway, he's good show. Great. Watch the show.
Yeah, okay. I will definitely check out the show for sure.
Again, for anybody else listening, Almighty Johnson's, check it out if you haven't already seen it. I love the show. I've watched it about 4 times, I think, which is less than I have binge watched other shows. But still, it's a good show. It's a lot of fun. actually the reason I thought about that though, even though the whole Thor, Thursday thing and Thor, I was having a conversation with somebody about this earlier. I just started watching, the new Disney Plus show, Moon Knight, which
I
is,
am
you know, it's
somewhat
a Marvel
curious
show,
about,
Marvel character.
I am somewhat curious about it because the only thing I really know about it is that he's basically schizophrenic Batman.
He's not schizophrenic, but no, he's not schizophrenic Batman at all.
No, first of all, he has schizophrenia and multiple personality disorder are entirely different, right?
Yes, and he does, and it's not, it's...
And I remember for a very long time, those two were unfortunately convoluted.
Well, and, it's, mental health understanding has, each year, more things are learned, more things are should, and we get better knowledge of things. I mean, keep in mind, 20 years ago, I can attest to this personally, 18 years ago, we'll use that as a better example, 18 years ago, if you had a kid that showed many, many traits that appeared to be somewhere on the autism spectrum, mm-hmm. but if they would look people in the eyes and interact with them, no, that kid's definitely not autistic. Now, right. We have come to the understanding of how broad the autism spectrum is, mm-hmm. and how many, many different things you have to look at to understand the diagnosis of autism, that that a child like that, who at first was told, no, you know, the parents were told, no way that child can be autistic. Now, the other two children in your family, definitely autistic, but that one can't be. Why not? See process of you know, logic here. Right. If two are, the third one probably is. When they're showing similar traits, with the only different trait being that one looks you in the eye and the other two don't necessarily.
Well,
that's the only thing you're hinging this on.
Funny,
but that's
funny enough, counterpoint on that, and that I understand completely, because there's a lot of unfortunate link with that. I know what you're talking about. As far as what's really funny is misdiagnosis can happen in an entirely different direction as well. I've seen, actually, I have a family member. I don't necessarily want to name names here, but I have a family member who has a couple of kids. And one of her kids is legitimately autistic.
Yeah.
And the other, and his younger, this kid's younger brother had unfortunately outburst type tendencies, but
okay, behaviors.
He had certain behaviors that could be misconstrued as autistic behaviors, but it turns out that this younger brother was not autistic. The older brother is, but the younger brother isn't, and it had to do with certain traumas that he had experienced from previous home situations. But it
more
was
presentation of PTSD type stuff then.
Yes, but it was compounded with ADHD. So he actually has ADHD, and it took two or three years before he was legitimately diagnosed with ADHD and trauma and not autism. But it took what happened was it was the school that was diagnosing him. So it was like the school counselor diagnosed the first kid with autism accurately, and because he had a younger brother and this kid was expressing tendencies like outbursts, certain behavioral issues, they said, oh, well, this kid's related to this kid, so he must be autistic too.
Yeah, they went with the easy relation diagnosis.
Exactly.
And that's the thing is, there is a difference in the sense that what I'm speaking of is when you take a multi-year look and see the behavior observations, see the different things that are happening, and can see that the presentation in these three case study kids that I'm talking about. You can see that the three of them have very, very similar traits. All of the traits would fall under the autism spectrum thing, except for the only difference is the one kid looks you in the eye and the other two don't. And they say, nope, that means he can't possibly be autistic because autistic kids don't look you in the eye. That's how they thought about it 17, 18 years ago. Now, with how many studies that have been done, how many papers that have been written, with how many autistic individuals have begun doing their own studies and writing their own papers about things, mm-hmm. about their own experiences with things, you find out that was one of the stupidest things to use as a criteria for saying that they are not autistic.
Yeah.
That one child being able to look you in the eye. It depends on level of severity. It depends on where within the spectrum they end up falling. And so our knowledge of mental health stuff, every single year we learn more because we are slowly but surely demystifying it and making it so that it's more acceptable to acknowledge it and accept the different mental situations that every person is in, that every single person has.
Yeah, and not only that, but to understand something, it's also understanding that it is not necessarily a barrier to success as well, and that it could go extremely undiagnosed for a very long period of time. There's a female comedian who was just like, and I want to say she's in her mid-30s, and she was legitimately just diagnosed with autism this year and wrote a whole article on it and didn't realize that this is what it was. She thought her social awkwardness kind of helped her stand-up routine and that kind of stuff. And she was, you know, harnessing her view on life and all that kind of stuff,
There's a term for that.
There's a term for it?
Yes, there's a term for this.
Really?
This is a term that actually I believe it's had origins in race relations and the racial experience of non-white people in the United States specifically, but also in other areas. It also has its origins within the LGBTQ community.
Really?
In that they have all had to do a similar, not exactly the same, but they've all had a similar experience where to fit into normal society, they have had to mask themselves.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking it was possible you were talking about masking. And masking is the term.
And it's now being applied. It's been applied in all those other scenarios throughout the last 200 years or whatever, but it is now also being applied to people that have had to mask what is considered their mental eccentricities. They've had to mask and try to appear as normal as possible, only to find out later in their adult life that there is a possible identifiable... What's the word I want to use?
Yeah, you're talking about
mental condition that may have been the kind of the culprit behind the way they interpret their environment and maybe made it feel like they did not belong or they were not whatever normal is.
Yeah,
and they've had to you know basically act the part for so long and work within what they can because they had no idea that. This was something that was a part of the way they interpreted the world.
Yeah. You know what? That was something that, funny enough, I was, and I mention it on the show a lot. It's something that I have, spent only the last maybe 2 or 3 years being fully aware of and still am finding certain, you know, small idiosyncrasies and tendencies in the way that I process and how I speak and all this kind of stuff. But I was diagnosed with ADHD only a couple, 3 years ago, and I spent my entire life like that. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Masking is, you do it and you're unaware of it. A lot of the time you can be. Some people can intentionally be like that, but it's when you become afraid of when you're afraid of acting as you are urged to do because you think that the people that surround you at that point in time or your environment will frown upon you for being who you are. That's what masking is. It's very extremely it's one of the most stressful things that you do subconsciously. It is a constant. It's like you walk on eggshells from when you wake up in the morning until you go to bed. And even when you go to bed, your mind still doesn't stop racing about what you did. Did you say this thing right? Did you say it wrong? It develops a ridiculous amount of social anxiety. But masking is probably one of the worst things that people could do, and they do it unknowingly because they think that's the way that they're supposed to operate. So they do their best impression of a normal functioning human being.
The reason behind that is, of course, the fact that anything that anybody sees as a different or deviant physical or mental behavior from what they consider the quote unquote norm is frowned upon. You're ostracized for it. And so you're doing your best to try to fit in. And that's where I think, again, we're seeing more of an understanding, more of an acceptance. And we're not there yet. Just like we're not there with, you know, racial acceptance, just like we're not there with LGBTQ acceptance. We're not there with any of these acceptances yet.
But right.
Just like all of the others, there have been some strides that are moving forward, and we are seeing still movement of that forward. We're still looking at the fact that very much like people of African American descent, many people that are arrested and or injured by police officers, regardless of their race, are people that are in some way, shape, or form dealing with some kind of a mental disorder.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah, definitely.
And that's it. I mean. Just huge proportions of that. And this is, again, this is something that we're getting more awareness with. And part of the way that we get more awareness is by having portrayals of these characters in media and by having understanding of these characters within the media. Now, is Moon Knight doing that yet with the specific thing that it's working with? We'll see. Because the character, as it is in the comics... and again, to combat, kind of bring it back to what we were talking about in combat, kind of what you kind of guessed at as the point of it. Obviously, he's not schizophrenic.
Yeah, I'm going to come out real quick and just say that I wholeheartedly apologize for that because I misspoke on that terminology. Like I knew that, and it just the years and years of thinking that that is associated with multiple personality disorder and being told that. And realizing that it's not true, like that was a complete mistake on my part.
And to be honest, that's not the bad part of what you said, in my opinion. Because people of media or not media, but people's response to Moon Knight has been either yes, a multiple personality Batman or even schizophrenic Batman. Which again, they're wrong with the schizophrenic thing. That's not the thing that gets me the most mad. That's not the thing I'm frustrated with. He is absolutely nothing like Batman. Okay, first of all, Moon Knight's not some rich dude whose parents were killed in an alley.
Yeah, people
have
been. No. Yeah, people have been shopping. People have been shopping this like over the last couple of years. I've only heard of this character over the last like maybe year or so, and I know he's been around for a lot longer than that.
He's been around for a really long time. Yeah. I remember 5 years ago, I was looking for we were in the process of trying to find this house that we moved into. We were trying to find houses during that time frame.
Yeah.
And the house I went to see right before this, there was an Air Force guy that was living in the house, and he was being deployed somewhere else, so he was moving, and he was showing me around the house for the landlord. Yeah. And I'm checking this house out. I'm looking at it, and I notice he's got some Star Wars paraphernalia. So we start talking Star Wars because, I mean, that's what I do when I see people with Star Wars
stuff. Oh, wow. He debuted in 1975.
Yeah. He's been around for a long time. So let me get there.
Yeah. Continue.
So we're talking to this guy about Star Wars stuff. We're talking about, I think it was right around Disney was doing the acquisition, so we're talking a little bit about that. Disney had already done the acquisition. It was after Disney's acquisition. So we're talking about that. We're talking about the Marvel stuff involved. And he's like, yeah, I just can't wait till they do something with Moon Knight. And I'm like, Moon Knight? Really? He's like, yeah, Moon Knight's literally my favorite comic book character. I'm like, I know of Moon Knight. He's one I know absolutely nothing about. And he didn't tell me a whole lot about Moon Knight during that conversation, but this guy was like, Moon Knight was his favorite dude, like 150%. Now that I know a little more about Moon Knight, I'm like, why was he your favorite? And you're working for the Air Force, and you were your job is flying Raptors, you know, the drones. Are we sure we want this guy flying drones if he likes Moon Knight? but anyway, I've known of him since I got into comics in the 90s, but he was a peripheral comic figure for me that I knew a little bit about, like Morbius, the movie that just came out with Jared Leto.
Yeah.
I knew a little bit about Morbius, but not a whole lot. By the way, I want to say I've heard from friends that I trust their opinion to at least some degree. If they, one friend in particular, if he tells me a horror movie is good, I don't believe him because he lives and breathes and loves horror movies. I can never believe what he says about horror movies.
Okay.
But if he tells me that other movies are good or bad, I can kind of trust that.
Okay.
Because when it comes to other movies, he's just kind of a normal, ordinary guy watching movies. So he's a good kind of mid-range thing. He's not a big movie nerd except for with his horror movies. Horror movies, he's just like, I mean, this guy yearly, he's involved in a local haunted house thing, like a big haunted house thing that is put on. You remember Friday Night Live, the kind of teen program where they'd set things up for teens to do on Friday nights and stuff so the teens wouldn't be out drinking and shit like that? Do you remember that program?
No, No, that sounds terrible.
It was one of those things that parents could deposit their kids at the things and feel safe that their kids weren't doing stuff they weren't supposed to, even though the kids were still doing the things.
Oh, they absolutely were, parents.
They sure were, except for me, because I wouldn't, because I'd get in trouble, and I was terrified of getting in trouble.
I never went to shit like that.
I did, because it was the only stuff I was allowed to go to. But anyway, actually, you know what, thinking about it, I only went to like one or two. But anyway... he's involved in this haunted house every single year. He's made his own kind of attempts at low budget horror movies. So this guy's a horror movie fanatic. But when he talks about regular movies, I can believe the dude. I've read the reviews online, and all of them, not just the few of them. And I got to tell you right now, man, everybody hates that damn movie. Morbius
really?
Is considered the worst. I mean, people used to hate Thor the Dark World. Again, more hate on Thor here. But Morbius is considered like the worst ever. Maybe worse than the old Fantastic Four movies.
Okay. I mean, it's bad. First off, all right. I know people have said this about it. Actually, one of my favorite memes, even though I consider it grossly incorrect, was one of my favorite memes is a picture of Darth Maul. It's Darth Maul with dual lightsaber. And the first one he pulls his worst DC movie ever. And then the other side lights up and it's his worst Marvel movie ever. And Darth Maul's got Jared Leto on it, written on him. I think that one was pretty funny in general, but I think a lot of people fucking completely forget. This is like the same people that lost their minds when Deadpool came out and they're like, ooh, the first R-rated Marvel movie. I was like, did you forget fucking Blade? Like, seriously, no, Blade was R-rated as shit. There was blood everywhere. Everywhere. F-bombs getting dropped. Like, this is, Blade was R-rated as shit. But a lot of people making memes about Jared Leto ruining Morbius. Now, I have not seen Morbius, so I cannot necessarily say. But I will tell you that I saw Daredevil, and Daredevil sucked ass on an astronomical degree. The only good thing about Daredevil were two things. Michael Clark Duncan is the Kingpin because that shit was badass. And Colin Farrell is Bullseye.
No.
What?
Colin Farrell as Bullseye was awful.
And he was great. I thought Michael he was Clark ridiculously Duncan eccentric. He wasn't like accurate, but he was ridiculously eccentric. I loved him.
He was just chewing scenery the entire time.
That's the point. Did you see the fight scene? The faux fight love fight scene with Elektra? You expect to do fucking Matt Murdock with frosted tips. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, no, that's, I mean, the fact that somebody decided to let Ben Affleck try to do a superhero movie again. I mean, it worked because I personally thought he was very good as Batfleck, but still.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. That was a gamble. That was a gamble for sure at the beginning. But I remembered, like, I always considered that Daredevil was so bad that it shouldn't even be considered that Ben Affleck was even in that movie.
We shouldn't even really think about that movie anymore. But the thing is, I will give you Michael Clark Duncan. He was not bad as the Kingpin until Vincent D'Onofrio played the Kingpin. And then it was like, yeah, this is what we should have had all along.
Well, that's completely understandable, but for the context, like, that was like...
No, he was the bright, shining star in that
yeah, it was like pile of sludge. It was like Franklin Jello as Skeletor. Like, that's a horrible fucking movie. Absolutely terrible movie. One actor is awesome. And it's worth watching for that one actor.
Oh, and that was so good in that
worth
movie.
Watching for Michael Clark Duncan, but it was not because it was a good movie. In Although any
I'll disagree
degree.
With you. I'll disagree with you on the He-Man thing. The Masters of the Universe thing. The guy who plays Man at Arms and Billy Barty, they're good.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Billy Barty is good. I don't remember Man at Arms though.
I don't know the actor who plays Man at Arms, but he's
the guy with the Tom Selleck mustache.
Yeah, he's fantastic in the movie.
He sounds pretty. So he sounds relatively accurate.
Yeah, he's just like I'm just a warrior. You got some food? You eat when you can. he's the solid thing of like, yeah, I'm here. I'll do.
All right. Yeah. He was pretty good.
Fantastic in it. And I mean,
Billy Barty was amazing.
The bald guy from Back to the Future basically just plays his Back to the Future character again. Yeah. Instead of a principal and a Old West sheriff, he's a cop.
Now he's a cop. But, yeah, same dude.
Yeah, but Frank Langella just owns the crap out of that.
Yeah,
despite his personal problems currently. But anyway,
so which one's the worst movie, Masters of the Universe or Daredevil?
Oh, I'm saying Daredevil.
Okay. Now, I, again, as somebody that hasn't seen Morbius, I can't necessarily say, so I kind of want to see Morbius so that I can try to put this together. However,
I mean, I'm going to have to see it because Matt Smith is in it. Matt Smith was one of the doctors mm-hmm. at one point or another. So I have to see it for him. Regardless of that, I'm going to see it anyway. Cause it's, I'm going to see how connected it is to the actual MCU because I have not seen the Venom movies yet. And that's only because he was one of my favorite comic book characters. And I'm so terrified to watch the movies because I'm so terrified that I'm going to get mad at them.
I think it's okay. I think the Venom movies in general, that's where I'm completely understanding of that because the Venom movies in general were like, They have to avoid so many of the things that make Venom Venom, right? Yeah,
I mean, and so, especially the fact that like he's only a villain to one person. He's literally only a villain to one person. To other people, he's basically a vigilante that goes after criminals and eats them,
right?
Or kills them and then eats
them. Right? I mean, not great. He very much an anti-hero.
Yeah, but he's the only hero he's actually villainous towards, the only hero to hurt is Spider-Man. And that's because Eddie Brock hates Spider-Man and the symbiote hates Spider-Man. They both hate him. So they're like, well, we're going to hate him together. And that's the only real person, real good guy he ever goes after. He doesn't care about any other good guys. The other good guys, like, just forget all them. You little skinny fucker, I'm going to come after you. I don't like you. Neither one of us like you. We don't like you. It's not I.
The delay in between skinny and fucker made that completely.
Good. Yeah. But yeah, I'm scared because, again, I've always loved Venom as a character. He's one of the most badass looking characters, just two colors, and he's still completely freaking badass. And, but yeah, anyway, Moon Knight, we keep getting away from Moon Knight.
I've been hearing some, so, I mean,
okay, we're going to take a break.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back and actually discuss a little bit about Moon Knight.
Sure.
And where this conversation comes from. Also, I just want to point out that at one point or another on a Twitter feed, that meme that you love so much, James did one of those memes.
Oh, really?
It was on our Twitter and on our Facebook. I use the Darth Maul thing.
You do?
I did use it.
Oh, I've got to see that one.
The first side of the lightsaber is knowledge of geek culture.
Uh-huh.
Right? Knowledge of geek culture. That describes me, right?
Yes. Right, yeah.
The second side of it, knowledge of football.
Oh, God.
That shows how, you know, multidimensional I am. It also shows how big my ego is. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sending this back to Moon Knight, because there was a point in all of this, and that had to do with there's a mythology point here, but Moon Knight is a good example of this, because Moon Knight, like you had mentioned earlier, Mike, you had mentioned that there was a Batman connection. This Batman connection has been made.
Yeah. Honestly, it's just, I've been reading the general articles where the headlines are like, look, here's Marvel's Batman. And that's all I've seen. And that's all I know. Like, that's really it.
Well, that's all that most people know about it, because that's what they see about it. Because they think Moon Knight, the Dark Knight, yada, yada, whatever.
Yeah, okay. It looks in and of itself, like, at root, it looks in and of itself like, essentially, a Batman ripoff. But, however, I will state that both Marvel and DC have ripped each other off for decades.
Oh, yeah.
They've done it for a while. Characters. However, is Moon Knight an exception to this rule, or is it not? Like, that's the real question.
Here's the thing. Moon Knight is in no way, it's no relation to Batman, in no way a ripoff or a thing, any connection. Just, they're just not. Mainly because, again, Batman.
This is no Wade Wilson kind of situation where it goes, it starts off bad and then it completely, okay. All right. Wade and Slade. I like that. Let's just call it a Wade and Slade.
I think it should be called that.
Yeah.
I don't know
when that's the Submariner, that's a Wade and Slade, right?
Yeah,
or is it the other way around?
Well, is it?
I think one is influenced by the other. So it's either Aquaman is influenced by Submariner or the other way around. I can't remember who came first.
It doesn't really matter. it's Aquaman. Doesn't really matter.
No, guys, it's Seaman.
What?
Damn it, it's Seaman. Oh, you haven't seen that South Park episode, have you?
I probably have. I think I know.
I think it's Imagination Land, or no? It was supposed to be like their take on the Super Friends, and it was like Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad and something like that. And then they also have another character that's a ripoff of Aquaman, but they call him Seaman.
Of course they do.
Yeah, of course they do.
That's the appropriate.
Damn thing it, it's Seaman.
Anyway,
it's like the running joke of the episode is fantastic.
So Batman, he's Bruce Wayne, right?
Yes.
Fam, I'm trying to get away from the Aquaman talk and the semen talk.
Okay.
He's rich. His parents die. He has all these gadgets, the Batcave, you know, this rogues gallery, all these different these things that make Batman, Batman, right?
Mm-hmm.
What Batman does not have is he does not have, and this is funny, tying it into the Almighty Johnsons, which we were talking about before, he does not have an Egyptian god inhabiting his body, making him the avatar of that god.
Okay, that sounds
Moon Knight.
Hold on 1 second. Whoa, before you get too crazy, into that real quick. Like, that sounds oddly specific. That's like, just like, okay, let's take Batman and make him possessed by a god.
Well, no, see, that's the thing is, this isn't a guy, the guy that is Moon Knight, he's not some rich playboy. He doesn't have all of these, he has some skills, but he doesn't have all these gadgets. He doesn't have all this other stuff. He's just a guy that ends up being, because of circumstances and where he happens to be at the time, he ends up getting possessed by, he's in the comic books, he's dying, and he ends up being possessed and brought back to life by this ancient Egyptian god, who apparently somehow or another Egyptian gods do also exist in the Marvel universe, even though we have Eternals and Celestials and those other things. I don't remember exactly how it all works out. It doesn't matter for the conversation here.
Okay.
The conversation here is Moon Knight is basically the avatar of an Egyptian god. And he actually has a suit that will appear on him. It's a magical suit that protects him from harm.
Okay.
Heals him and makes him super powerful. Batman has none of those. So,
I mean, so because he's
to say that.
Okay.
What?
Well, I'm just looking at,
Batman has suits. He has lots of suits. He does not have a magic suit.
Okay, at least, but I'm going to. Okay, so I'm doing some research here because, you know, point counterpoint, and I'm looking at his current abilities, and I'm reading these out as the list is on his Wikipedia page. Okay,
for Moon Knight.
Yes, his current abilities are, and I quote, "Expert detective, proficient in martial arts and armed combat, utilizes high tech equipment." And also mystical visions. Now, he previously had, before this must have been retconned in some update, increased strength, speed, and endurance depending on the lunar cycle, which personally I think is awesome. Oh. Like, having that based on the lunar cycle makes a lot of sense because he's fucking Moon Knight. He's based on, isn't Khonshu the legit Egyptian moon god?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So they based this character's position or influence or whatever it is from Khonshu on the actual moon god Khonshu. Actual.
To some extent, yeah.
Actual air quotes. I state. But yeah, I. Are you. Okay. One of his personalities is a billionaire businessman.
Yes, but he's not actually a billionaire.
So he's just playing one.
But he's not really a billionaire.
How do you fake being a billionaire?
I don't know. But that is one of the important points is the fact that and party to our conversation.
I'm just gonna say I almost answered that with a political joke, but I'm just gonna stay out of that.
that's a good thing to stay out of right now. Anyway, the part of the point that we were alluding to earlier when it came to the kind of movement forward in depictions of people with mental health conditions, the character of Moon Knight in the comics and in the and so far in the series does have the condition of DID.
Yes, which I mistakenly had stated that he had multiple personality disorder after
which
I
which is no longer a thing, actually. That used to be what it was called.
Oh, so it it's, used to so be it called, called multiple DID. Personality disorder. So now it is dissociative identity disorder.
Yes, that is the more common politically and scientifically correct term for the disorder, because it's not necessarily about multiple personalities. It's about different identities more than personalities. It is a fully formed identity. And the way that that actually
I'm just that, wrong that all over the place.
Work,
So I'm just wrong all over the place today, man.
Well, no, it's not necessarily that you're wrong. It's that you just haven't necessarily learned the newer classifications for these things and haven't been necessarily on the front lines of some of the different mental health stuff that maybe
right.
I have.
Right. Not to state that I wouldn't that I wouldn't be interested in educating myself on these matters, but it does, you know, in order to have a good, proper, firm grasp on all this kind of stuff, most of the time it requires a college degree level of education.
Well, and keep in mind, I just recently went to school for some medical stuff.
Ah, okay. See, then that makes sense.
You did not.
I will, with this, and you're correct. I absolutely didn't. So I am definitely the least educated in this conversation. I will openly admit that. I will say that, funny enough, this has been in the comics, in some of the comic stories, his dissociative identity disorder has been incorrectly referred to as schizophrenia.
Thereby
essentially documenting what I was talking about before. Schizophrenia was accidentally or inadvertently or incorrectly used as a terminology to identify DID.
Actually, to be honest with you, what it is, back when the comic originated, people that would present now and be diagnosed now with DID would have been diagnosed back then with schizophrenia. Again, we're looking at the changes in understanding, the changes in diagnosis, the changes in identifying and labeling different disorders. So many things were lumped into schizophrenia back in the day. And now we have identified scientists and doctors have identified many different disorders that are separate from what schizophrenia is. Schizophrenia is its own specific thing. All these other disorders that were lumped into that are actually their own specific things now, and different treatments, different understandings of them, different presentations of them. And like anything, it has changed with the times. The comics have changed with the times. Their work with it in the series has changed and done surprisingly well so far, with the fact that with a lot of people that suffer from DID, one presentation is that none of the identities know about the existence of the others. They lose time occasionally, but they have ways to explain maybe the loss of time. They have different social circles that each identity runs in that explains maybe the situation's way, so they don't run into heavy conflicts. But there are some presentations of DID where one or more of the identities may be aware of the others. Or some of the others.
Whoa.
The thing is, there are still, again, multiple versions of it, multiple presentations of it, multiple levels of awareness. They're part of some of the therapies that are involved are actually figuring out ways to reconcile some of the identities together. That's at least, I would say, 3 to 5 years ago, that was therapies that were being used. I can't say whether those are still being used nowadays.
You mean like to take some of the identities and actually try to merge them into another identity to reduce the number?
Merge is the wrong word. More like become aware of the other ones. And sometimes the theory is that sometimes a dominant identity may take over more or be able to have some kind of control over what the other ones do. Subconsciously, but again, this is stuff that I know of from again.
About we're getting into
three to 5 years ago, and I can't say if any of that stuff is still being used or still considered appropriate science. But these are some of the directions.
I feel like we're getting into a very deep. We're getting into deep territory with with. I don't know if this is correct as a terminology. I'm kind of thinking
which
of
is,
it, but psychotheology,
which is why
I guess,
I'm
is the
kinda,
question. That's why I'm thinking the terminology is something to the, akin to psychotheology. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
is it?
It's psychology stuff.
It's
but,
psychology in general?
Yeah, psychology in general. And that's why I'm only saying as much as I am, because I am not an expert. I have some knowledge, but my knowledge is limited. And so I'm just sharing what limits I know and within the boundaries of which I know them.
Understood.
But so far from what I've seen of it, it's a fairly good depiction, but at least it is a depiction, and they're not, there's humor that's being used within it, but they're also not just using it as a one note joke. They're using it as a legitimate storytelling tool and character driving tool. And in fact, by the third episode, they've done something really brilliant with it, which I don't want to give any spoilers away. I'm just saying, here's the thing. If you don't know entirely the character, you may have spoiled part of it for yourself by reading the Wikipedia, but that's okay. You don't have Disney Plus anyway, so you may not get a chance to see Moon Knight until it's already done and all the spoilers are out there.
Yeah.
But there's a specific thing about his DID that has not been revealed yet in the series, except unless you're able to connect the dots, unless you're somebody that kind of knows how filmmaking works and how they tell stories,
mm-hmm.
and you can connect the dots into it, I'll reveal it to you after we're done with the show.
Yeah,
but it's a good show to watch. But watching it, there is one scene at one point where avatars of the other gods kind of come together. So you have a scene with Osiris and Horus and Hathor Isis,
okay.
which are all, these are all Egyptian gods, right? And I'm watching this scene, and I'm seeing confusion on the face of the person that I'm watching it with.
Uh-huh.
And this kind of and I'm wondering, what's the confusion? Why we're having the confusion? This person has no idea who these other Greek gods are. And I just keep thinking to myself, when did we stop teaching people multiple theologies and multiple mythologies? When did we stop doing that? Why don't people know their Egyptian mythology and their Greek mythology and their Roman mythology? You watch a movie and like something comes up from a mythological thing. It's like, oh, we got to go find an expert in this mythology. It's like, why do you have to go find an expert? Thor is a good example. I spoke about his depictions in the Marvel right. movies, and then his depictions in the Almighty Johnsons. In the first Thor Marvel movie, he shows up, he says he's Thor, he talks about the Bifrost and all these things, and you have Stellan Skarsgård's character, who's, you know, the doctor in this, talking to Natalie Portman's character. They're both, they're scientists, not doctors, they're scientists. They're studying the stars and stuff. And he's like, these sound like stories I was told when I was a kid. Back in, you know, Norway, the stories of the Norse gods, and, you know, freaking Padme sitting there with a dumb look on her face, like, what's the Norse gods? It's like, you are an astrophysicist and you don't even know what the freaking Norse mythology is. You don't know who Thor is from Norse mythology. What the crap? Read more books than your freaking physics books. Seriously.
You know what? If I may, I honestly feel like most of my education when it comes down to Greek and Norse and Roman mythology is honestly very, very light and pretty much is provided to me by the media that I consumed when I was a kid. Like, I had okay. very, very light, like, there was a very light touch on who was what god and did what during, like, world history. And that's where I got my diet of that, because, you know, when Rome ended up taking over Greece and then, like, adapted their gods, and then, like, Ares became Mars and so on and so forth. Like, you've got those kinds of mergings that happened when the Romans essentially adapted all that kind of stuff when they took over Greece. But the ideas and like the in-depth education behind Greek, Roman, Egyptian, Norse, relative pagan mythology, I guess is the best way of saying it, is very, very, very scarce. I think in okay. most people, especially probably, to be completely honest, younger than you, and I'm only a couple of years younger than you, I think they may have stopped doing that, like, in the time between when you went to elementary school and when I did.
No, see, here's the thing, and I presented it this way as kind of a little bit of a little bit of trickery and a little bit of a cheat to try to maybe get a little bit of rile in you, because I know from previous conversations that your knowledge of those ancient mythologies are, existent, but not
no, it's light, it's very light, admittedly so, yeah.
Yeah, And I wanted to get that reaction out of you because it proves a point that I believed for a long time. I was really, really weird as a kid, and I studied all of these things, not in school, but for myself because I wanted to know about this stuff. So it still bothers me that people don't know about it, but I've come to realize that it's just because I was a stupid little bookworm. I wouldn't say stupid. I was an annoying little bookworm that wanted to know shit.
No, you know what? Honestly, dude, you know what I ended up doing? Like, I ended up looking up shit like the history on the creation of you know, like how Walt Disney did anime. I was big into like animation. I was big into, you know, certain types of world history. Like, I knew that, and this sounds like a common fact now, but I knew when I was like 4 years old that the dinosaurs died 65 million years ago. You know, like that was.
Did you know when you were a kid that the T-Rex has actually lived closer in time frame to us than it did to the Stegosaurus?
Yes, I did. Actually, that was one of the things that I had learned in some. Those were some of the books I picked up as a kid, and I'm talking like I'm 5-6 years old reading up on that stuff because that was super fascinating. Like I could have just as easily gone into archaeology or animation that I did versus music. Like that was really where I went into. I was just digesting the hell out of that. But to wit,
you don't want to go into archaeology.
What?
You don't want to go into archaeology.
Why not?
Because you have to go to countries with dubious water supplies.
That's the only reason?
You don't want to go to other countries and have to drink the water with microbes in it that your body is not used to. It's just not pleasant.
Are you speaking from experience?
No, I speak from that's why I don't travel. Because I'm not.
You don't travel because of the water?
Hell yes.
Like, you don't travel, like, how far? Like, Singapore or Texas?
I would go to neither of those places ever. You should have picked a better state in the U.S., man. Like, I have only one reason to go to Texas, and I can go to New Mexico and get the same thing, so I'll go to New Mexico before I go to Texas. That's Whataburger. If I can get a Whataburger, I can get one in Vegas. Like,
what the hell?
They have Whataburger in Vegas.
Whataburger in Vegas? They don't have it out here in California yet? What the fuck, man?
We're working on it. but no, actually, you speak of archaeologists. The most famous archaeologist of the time, even though he wasn't a real archaeologist, is obviously Indiana Jones. He's not a real person. He's just a character.
Right.
In movie, but he's still the most famous archaeologist ever. One of the most famous scenes from Raiders of the Lost Ark, the sword fight scene that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yes.
When the guy pulls the sword and he's swinging it around.
Yeah,
and
he shoots him.
Gun and shoots him.
Wasn't he like sick that day or something like that?
Everybody was sick that day. Every single person in the cast was sick because they were filming in either Morocco or Tunisia. Every single one of them was sick. Every one of them had explosive diarrhea. He didn't want to do a sword fight, so he said, can I just shoot him? And he does. There are scenes
so
in
did,
there
was
where,
George sick too? No, Spielberg. I'm sorry, George.
George wasn't there. This is the funny story about it. George was not there, but Harrison Ford was sick. John Rhys Davies was sick. I forget what her name is who played Marion. She was sick. It was all sick. Except for Steven Spielberg. Do you know why?
Why?
He had his own private water supply that he drank from, and the only thing he ate while he was there was canned SpaghettiOs. He did not eat any other food at all while he was there in Africa.
So what you're saying is canned SpaghettiOs saved Indiana Jones.
Basically, yes.
Wow. Wow.
But well anyway.
So he's fine. Everybody else is sick. And he's just like, fine. Just fucking shoot him. We'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, he was just pissed that everybody was sick. He's like, I'm going to be over here with my private water and my SpaghettiOs.
I'm sure when he went back to his hotel room at the end of the night and he was eating his SpaghettiOs, he's like, yeah, bitches, I'm so much smarter than all of you. I'm sure he was thinking that. He wouldn't say it out loud because at that time he was still a nice guy. He may still be a nice guy. I've never met Steven myself. If I ever do, I'd try to be polite to him because like he is Steven Spielberg. But
bring him a can of SpaghettiOs. Hey, I heard you like these.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Spam?
Yes, yes, exactly. No, no, actually, no. I would not bring him spam.
No?
Turkey spam, maybe, but not spam spam.
Not regular spam?
He's Jewish.
Ah, turkey spam it is.
Yeah.
Wait. That's a question. Is spam in general kosher?
No, because it's ham.
No, but I mean, is turkey spam kosher? Because if it uses the same utensils. That
would be a good question, is whether turkey spam would.
There needs to be like.
As long as it doesn't have pig parts in it, then it should be.
I think it has to do with cleaning. It's like a certain type of cleaning process that you have to use in order to use. Like, that was. You know what? Actually, I found out recently. Like, that's why Hydrox is still kind of on the market, is because it's even though Hydrox came first. And Oreo came afterwards and like overtook the market. And that was honestly due to be completely honest, it was honestly due to shitty marketing on Hydrox's part.
Well, Oreo uses beef fat in their.
Right. They do. Hydrox is kosher.
Both kosher and vegan.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So that's where Hydrox gets the market on that. They essentially get the Jewish and the vegan market. As that cookie. Oh, that's why they're sustaining themselves.
Also the Muslim market, because pork is not appropriate in Muslim cuisine either.
Yes, exactly.
It is considered an unclean animal.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're far from.
I was gonna say we were talking about Moon Knight like 10 minutes ago.
So yes, people do watch Moon Knight. I'm not gonna give you any other things for it other than it is not like Batman. Batman is not possessed by an Egyptian god. And while there are some similar skill sets in the modern incarnations of Moon Knight, I guess, in the comics, with the whole detective thing, still, Batman does not have a magical suit that deflects bullets and heals him. He may have one that deflects bullets, but it ain't magical. And, he's not possessed, where Moon Knight is. And also, Batman has some mental issues he needs to work through, but he is not diagnosed as having DID. There is a difference between the two. Batman has a lot of mental issues. He's got.
I was going to say he's got a ton of those, but DID is not one of them. Actually, no, it's really DID funny because I'm reading the end of this here in the. Let's see, from what I'm looking at for this general description of the character. The character has been ranked by Wizard Magazine as the 149th greatest comic book character of all time. Which, to be completely honest, there's like. Tons of comic book characters, so yeah, hitting 149 pretty is pretty good. I'll give him that. But IGN, listen to this. IGN also listed Moon Knight as the 89th greatest comic book character, stating that Moon Knight is more or less the concept of what would happen if Batman were to have dissociative identity disorder.
And I mean.
He's also listed as they also listed him as number 49 in their list of the top 50 Avengers.
I mean, so
there is a I'm very curious about Moon Knight in general.
Still, he may have the skill set may be similar in so many instances, but again, we're dealing with somebody that is possessed by a freaking Egyptian god. He is an avatar of a god. Batman is not that. It's probably a good thing that Batman is not that.
I was going to say, man, even without the DID, Batman ended up becoming a lantern at one point, so.
That was scary. That was very, very scary. Damn power for Batman to have.
No, he did, oh my gosh, he did, wasn't that, which lantern was he? He wasn't a Green Lantern, was he? Was he yellow?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Oh, well. I love the fact, anyway. By the way, that the guy's alias, like his actual name, his regular name is Mark. Should I not state that?
You can say Mark Spector.
That's all I was going to say. Is Mark Spector. Character's name. You're going to get that literally in the first 5 minutes that you watch the damn series.
No, you're not actually.
Are you kidding me? They don't give him that?
No, I'm not.
I'm not going to give any more background on this guy. Like, no more. It's just enough from the general overview. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but that his actual name is a spoiler. I thought it was creative.
No, his actual name. You get it in the first episode.
Okay.
But it's definitely not in the first 5 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
because it's something different in the first. It's yeah.
Okay. I'm going to leave it at that.
Watch it.
That's a great spot to end on.
So I have a final note. I have a story for today. This is actually the one thing I was going to, the one thing I planned to do on this podcast was to tell my funny story for the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Totally went off the rails and did other things, which is fantastic.
All right.
Quick, tell them a funny story.
Quick summary on the funny story.
So, here's the deal. Today I went to work in the morning.
Good.
As I do.
Good. As one does.
I knew that
us in the workforce do.
Yes. So I knew that today I was going to have an opportunity during my work day to get to a store. So I decided I was going to treat myself and buy myself some lunch at the store. Something nice. Something, you know, other than taking, tuna salad and crackers to work for lunch.
For the day. Yes.
So I also, because I knew I was going to go to the store, I didn't want to bring my own coffee from home because I didn't want to carry around my really nice Darth Vader Tervis coffee mug through the store, you know, shopping, because I knew shopping was going to happen in the morning. So I didn't want to carry that coffee mug throughout the store. So I was like, I should go without coffee. Well, I ended up being in town sooner than I expected because it's spring break week. And a good majority of the traffic apparently getting into town is parents taking their kids to school. And I'm trying to go to work in the morning.
Huh.
So I've last couple of days, I've had a really quick ride in and I wasn't sure if it was just a fluke or if it was this. And, you know, 4 days in a row, it's definitely the parents aren't clogging up the freeway with taking their kids to school, which is great. Except I ended up being like 15 minutes almost early for work. I like being 5 minutes early for work because that's comfortable for me. I have time to walk in, you know, figure out what's going on. I like that. I don't like being exactly on time, but I don't like being too early. So I thought to myself, okay, I don't mind walking around with a paper cup of coffee, you know, from a place getting coffee. I don't mind walking around with that in the store because when I'm done, I can just throw it away. Whereas if I'm taking my personal cup in the store, first of all, it looks a little weird. Second of all, I mean, honestly, could you imagine somebody walking in the store with their own personal cup of coffee? That just looks funny. Even if it's one with a lid on it, right?
Right, right.
That looks a little weird. So, and then you have to carry it when it's empty. It's like, no. Paper cup, though, you know, from a place, that's no big deal. Because, again, you can just throw it out when you're done. It's fine. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'll stop and get a coffee. So I pulled into where there's a newer Starbucks because I have a gift card for Starbucks, and you know my hatred of Starbucks,
right.
But at least I know they can make a fairly decent drip coffee for me, and it's okay. I don't have to get any of the fancy frou frou. We're pretending that we're coffee drinks, but we're not really coffee drinks. We're just a crap ton of sugar.
Okay.
But the line, I get there and I see the line there, and I'm like, you know, this line's going to be more time than what I'd be okay with getting to work. I don't know that I'll get to work on time trying to get through this line, especially with IC cars with multiple people in it. And I'm like, oh crap, they're going to order really complicated shit because they're at Starbucks. Pretentious bastards. All right, I'm leaving. So I pull out of the line. I go around to try to get back on the road to get towards work. And as I'm getting there, I see there's, you know, one of those little coffee shacks, right? In this little, parking lot area. Uh-huh. You know, there's all these different, you know, companies that do the coffee shack, and sometimes they make good coffee. I was like, you know, I've not been to this one, so I'll pull into this coffee shack. And I pull in behind the car that's sitting there. There's just one car sitting there. I'm like, this is enough time. I'm sure I'll be, you know, they're not going to take too much time from me. And I'm looking over their menu and I'm like, okay, they got a whole bunch of flavored stuff. I don't see a drip coffee, but they got an Americano. I could deal with that. They got a cappuccino. I could deal with that. Okay. It's one of the two. I'll either have an Americano or a cappuccino. Basically, there's just a difference in milk, really, right? Isn't that really the difference between the two? How much milk you have and how it's processed?
To a degree.
I mean, that's kind of the real difference. I mean, the type of coffee, but still. So I'm like, yeah, I'll get one of the two. I'll figure it out when I pull up. Whatever, you know, just sticks in my brain. And I like either one.
Yeah.
So the other car pulls away. I pull up to this coffee shack and I look inside the coffee shack. Now, we've talked about my new car, right?
Yes.
My new car being a Mini Cooper.
Yes.
So it's a small car, low to the ground. So I kind of have to look up into this coffee shack thing. I am sad that I was driving a small car. I wish I had been in a truck. Because as I look into this, coffee shack.
Okay.
I see this very attractive young lady staring back at me. And she is only wearing a bra.
Huh.
Yes, she has a bra on. Nothing else that I can see, because I'm sitting really low. But I can see her stomach and her shoulders and all the other things that bras like to show. But she's just wearing a bra. And I'm like, what the fuck did I stumble into? Looking for cameras around. What the heck's going on?
Is this a prank? Am I being filmed?
Yes. She just, how are you doing today? What can I get for you? I'm like, just a cappuccino. Okay. Hot or cold? Hot. What size? The biggest size that you have? Okay. She starts, it'll be like, you know, this much. Okay. I get my card handed out and I'm like, what the hell is going on? I see another person in there, another lady in there. Also, just a bra. But this one I see also is wearing the halter thing for stockings, right? Around her stomach.
Okay.
And it's sparkly and black.
Weird.
And I'm like, what the hell? And I can just barely, from my vantage point, and I don't want to sit up in my car and try to look because that would be a little creepy. But from my vantage point, I can see just barely the top of panties.
What the hell?
So I'm like, what's going on? I look at the sign. Have you ever heard of Bottoms Up Coffee?
Oh, actually, my God. That's where you're espresso at. Is that Base Tech out in Washington or something like that?
They're in Washington.
Yep,
but they have
I know
here
you're
in
talking
California
about. Oh, okay. They're down here now?
They are down here in California.
Holy
I at
shit.
Sign, I'm like, I saw it and I'm like, oh, and the light bulb clicked because I had seen, like an old person, I had seen on the news when people were complaining about the coffee place. And I'm like, oh, that's what this place is. Awesome. And so I get my coffee. I you know, pay, give a little bit of a tip because I always give tips because I've worked in the service industry. It's always nice to give tips. And she asks, you know, what are you doing today? I'm just heading to work. Like I said, she gives me my coffee. I notice that she has a belly button ring, obviously, because I can see everything. And so I'm, you know, just first thing that came to my head, oh, nice belly button ring. She goes, yeah, I got a butterfly one. It's kind of cute. I'm like, I bet it is cute. Well, you have a nice day. You too. Drove off and I'm like, all right, I'm in a conundrum now. I'm in a really big conundrum. First
Why?
Of all, I love the scenery. The scenery was nice. And yes, for people who are wondering, I the second I had a free time not driving, I texted my wife and said, hey, I stopped for coffee today. It was a very interesting encounter. She's like, why? I said, have you ever heard of Bottoms Up Espresso? And she's like, oh my God, you went there? I'm like, I had no idea. It's located here. I just pulled in to grab some coffee and boy, I got an eyeful. She goes, I'll bet you did. I'm gonna have to go there for coffee with you. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. But here's the conundrum I had. So I get to where I need to go, and I, you know, I'm letting the coffee cool because it's hot, you know, I can feel it through the paper cup. It's cool enough where I can try to take a sip of it. I take a sip and I'm like, oh shit. Cause I ordered a cappuccino, right?
Right.
I love cappuccinos. Cappuccinos can be made wrong very easily, right?
Right.
You can screw up a cappuccino pretty easy. But to get a cappuccino right, to get it to taste really good, it's kind of an art form. I mean, to get a really good one, right?
Fair.
So it was a fun experience. Nice, you know, nice scenery, like I said. The shit part is the coffee.
Dude, okay, hold on one fucking second here. You need to realize this is the Hooters of coffee joints.
Oh, I know
you
it
don't
is.
Go
know
there
is.
For the fucking wings, bro.
No, I know it is. I know it is. I know it is. And that's the problem. The coffee was fucking amazing. It was actually really fucking good.
Wait, what?
It was really good.
You're kidding me.
It was one of the best cappuccinos I've had in years.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. And that's the really sucky part is I can't go back just for the coffee because nobody will believe me. Nobody will ever believe
you actually
I'm going
had
back for
one
the
of
coffee.
The best cups of coffee from a place like this. And that was that. Wow.
I'm drinking, this is a really good cappuccino. I'm walking around the store. I'm walking around a Walmart drinking this. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. Oh my God, this is so good. And I'm just like, I want to go back there for more coffee, but I can't go back there for more coffee.
Yeah, that's
nobody will believe I'm going back there for coffee. They just think I'm going to go back there to look at the girls.
You know, I'm quite sure even the girls would think that. Like when,
oh yeah,
like
oh yeah, they're gonna they've never seen me before. I show up one day,
and then you show up twice,
and then I keep coming back, and they're like, oh yeah, we know why. He's, it's like you know. No, seriously, you don't know why I'm here. The coffee's actually good. I mean,
that's more excuse to bring your wife out there with you.
Well, I have other reasons to bring my wife out there with me, but
right. But again, that's the thing is because the coffee's really good, but if you both go out there as a couple, that's a whole different experience. And that's a different interpretation. You know what I mean?
On that note, Mike, where can people be listening to James talk about the pretty ladies that served him coffee today?
Wonderful, Ender. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. If you are listening to this right now, you could be listening to this at our website, thezennialchronicles.com or zencron.com. If you don't want to type that much, you can also search us on... Oh man, your favorite podcast platform, whatever that may be, go ahead and search for the Zennial Chronicles there. You'll probably find us. Also, make sure that you're searching for us on YouTube as well. If you haven't already, go ahead and find us. You might be listening to this video as a video. Sorry, this is coming out as a video on our YouTube channel as well. We upload all our podcasts to YouTube. If you're listening to this as a video, please make sure underneath the video, you click that like button so that the algorithm, the almighty algorithm knows that you like us. And next to that button as well, there is a subscribe button, and you should probably click that because that would help us too, because we're trying to get more subscribers as well. All the time. There's also something else that we need to do, or that you would need to do. And James, you know what that is. What is that?
Click the bell.
Make sure that you click the bell so that you get notified the next podcast, or sometimes videos when we don't have podcasts, comes out. And you'll know, and you'll watch it, and or listen to it, and or whatever.
I'm kind of glad that there's no video right now, because the face I made a few moments ago, too many questions. Anyway, while you're there, checking out our stuff, liking, subscribing, the bell, please make sure to check out Mike's other two pages. He has a page that he does with his wife playing video games. That's all they're doing, honestly, called Chronosode Games. This is them playing video games in chronological order of the story. Let's say it right, James, not in order of when the games are released, because games aren't always released. Just like Star Wars movies, they're not always released in proper chronological order. Say it right, James. Damn it. Anyway, it's getting late. My brain isn't working. Also, check out Mike's other page, Ruling Note Music. This is Mike's music page where he talks about all things music. Stories about bands, albums, gear, how to record stuff, all that good stuff. Also, he does his own recordings that he'll show there, including ones where he tries to take on great songs with crappy crappy artists that he is imitating.
To a point. He may be correct. Depends. Maybe. I don't know.
Depends on your point of view. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.